We're continuing our study in the book of Ruth. The theme of the study is Give Me Your Best. The title of the message today is I Need Help. I need help. Would you stand? Let's ask God's guidance as we read. Our Father in heaven, we open your word knowing that without the guidance and instruction of your Spirit, Lord, we will not understand. But we also know that through the instruction of your Spirit, we may know you as we've never known you before. Teach us, Lord, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ruth chapter 11, remain standing. Verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies. And you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? So she answered, I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we open our hearts to you. Convict of sin. Draw the unsaved to you. And help the saved that we may understand the love that you have had for us. And appreciate that love. Lord, we pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start today with a question. All right? Start today with a test. Here's the test. If I needed help, would you help me? Well, I'm out there on my own on this one, aren't I? If I needed, seriously. All seriousness, if I needed help, would you help me? You know, and I'm not talking about something unreasonable out there. I'm not going to ask you for $1 million, okay? But if I needed help, you would help me, right? I would trust you to help me. Now, let me ask you this. If you needed help, would you ask for it? You don't have to answer that. If you needed help, would you ask me for it? Would you ask someone? Would you ask for the help that you need? If not, why not? You know, I look at this lady, Ruth, and we see a woman who has been faithful. This lady has given her best. And throughout, and I'm not sure the amount of time that's gone past it. Well, you know, it's not long. Since her husband has died, her father-in-law has died, her brother-in-law has died, she has had a most difficult life. As a matter of fact, every time it looked like it was going to get better, it got worse instead. Here is a lady who had been faithful to her mother-in-law, Naomi, whom she had traveled back to Bethlehem with. Now Ruth is a Moabite, a foreigner, who has traveled back to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law. And they came back with nothing. And so being the poorest of the poor, the lowest of the low, if you will, in the pecking order of Bethlehem in that day, she went to work in the fields because she was so poor that she was allowed to glean in the field as a pauper. You know, the field owners were required to leave some of the grain for the poor of the community. And she faithfully worked, and working there, she was able to work out a living from day to day for herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Oh, she's been strong. She's been virtuous. But we're coming to the end of harvest. And she's at home, and her mother-in-law says, "Ruth, I'll tell you what. I have a desire for you. That desire for you is a desire of rest or security," in verse 3. And it's translated security, but I want you to understand what that word security means. It means rest, or a condition of rest or protection. It was the idea of a lady that day, what a lady of that day would have received if she had a husband. It meant that she would not have to worry about the bills of life. It meant that she would not have to worry about where the next meal was coming from, or having a roof over our head. It was a picture, this word security was a picture of having every need that you had supplied. A picture of no worries in the cares of life. And you see, Ruth had not known that in quite some time. As a matter of fact, all Ruth knew was worries. And she had been gleaning as the poorest of the poor. She had been gleaning in the field of Boaz, going behind the reapers and taking the leftovers and gathering and taking that to her mother-in-law Naomi so they could just eat. Boaz, the man, the owner of the field, has been very generous. He even told his reapers, "Look, you guys, I want you to drop some grain, so she'll have extra to pick up." But you know what's really sad? And she's done really well. But you know what's sad? The harvest is over. You see, they're doing they're gleaning they're gleaning the grain now. All the grain has been gathered. They're on the threshing floor, and they're threshing the grain from the stalk, and there's not going to be any more grain for her to go out and pick up. So now, she's right where she was when she first started. No way to make a living. No visible means of support. And so Naomi comes up with this idea. She says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to put you in that position of security, or that position of rest. But have you ever noticed, isn't that just the way life is? I mean, what I mean is, we get to thinking, oh, things are going so well. But it never lasts. Have you noticed that? How many of you have ever saved money? What happens when you save money? Do you not get to think, oh man, I'm doing better. I'm really glad where I am. I've got a little bit of money in the bank, and the first thing you know, the air conditioner blows up. And it takes it all, and you think, I was working, and now I'm back where I started. How many of you ever look forward to not having car payments? Don't we pay our car payments each month, and we have that mark in mind? Like in 2025, I'm going to have my cars paid for, and I'm not going to have any car payments. I'll have money then. What happens? You make that last payment on that car, see what happens. That baby will blow up on you. Oh, it's life. It's It's the ups and the downs. Right when you think, you know, life is going to get better, something happens and the worries just start all over again. Even retirement. I've known people who lost every dime of retirement because the stock market crashed. Known people who lost half their retirement because of a downturn of the stock market. You know, it just seems like sometimes you can't get ahead. But you know, there's a greater need. There's a greater need than money and savings and retirement and all that. And it is a spiritual need. I want to tell you something. One of these days, you're going to come to the end of this life. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? One of these days, you're going to die. What are you going to do? Are you listening to me? I want you to get this. Everybody in this congregation will die. What are you going to do when that happens? You see, the harvest of this life, the opportunities of this life, one day will be over and you will face eternity. What's going to happen to you? I said, Brother Doug, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Good luck with that. And I say that lovingly and respectfully. But hope will not get you to heaven. Okay? You say, but Brother Doug, I'm a good person, are you? Brother Doug, I go to church, so what? You see, you need peace on the inside. And that peace can only come from one place. That's why the title of this message is, I Need Help, because there is a spiritual peace that you cannot obtain yourself. You can work, you can church work, you can teach, you can be a good person, but on the inside there is a peace, there is a protection, there is a security that one can only find through Jesus Christ. No other way. Do you have peace? You know, I ask you, if you needed help, would you ask for it? And the reason I ask you that is because I think therein lies our problem of the world today. You see, Ruth, she knew, the harvest is over and it's going to get tough if something doesn't happen. So Naomi says, Ruth, I'll tell you what we're going to do. This man Boaz is a relative. And there's a law, the law of the kinsman redeemer in the nation of Israel. Whereas this man could change your life. You see, in Israel, if a married man died without having children or leaving children, according to the law, his younger brother would take that, take his wife and raise children. And so the children, through that wife, the firstborn of that relationship would be considered the son of the father who died to perpetuate the name. Sounds reasonable, right? But in the case where there was no brothers, and in this case, there is no brother for Ruth to marry. So, there could be a kinsman redeemer who was a near relative that could take that place and marry Ruth and have children with Ruth to be accredited as the children of her dead husband. And so Naomi has this in mind. She says, here's what we're going to do. Boaz is winnowing barley at the threshing floor, and Ruth, here's what you do. You go wash yourself. Put on your best garment, which I kind of smiled when I read that phrase, your best garment. You know why? Because she didn't have anything. Her best garments was probably little more than rags. But Naomi said, put on your best garments and go to the threshing floor. And after Boaz finishes eating and drinking, don't go to him before he finishes all this, but at the end of winning for the day, he will they will have a feast, and he'll eat, and he'll drink, and he'll go to sleep. And after he goes to sleep, you go into Boaz, and here's what you do. You uncover his feet and lay down beside him. Now, I don't know about you, but stuff like this just kind of gets my mind turning. I'm like, uncover his feet. What's that about? I mean, have you ever fought over the covers? You wake up at night and your feet's uncovered. What happened? If you're cold-natured like I am, you reach over and... Never mind. But there's more to it than that. In this case, she goes in after he goes to sleep, and she uncovers his feet very softly so as not to disturb him. And then she lays down at his feet. You see, this whole thing is very symbolic of Ruth. Boaz has shown her kindness. He's been good to her. And so now Ruth is going back, and she can't ask him to marry her. They were not modernized in the least. That would have been very inappropriate. The woman didn't ask that. But what she's doing is she's telling Boaz that I'm willing if you're willing to redeem me. She's humbling herself at his feet and just basically presenting herself in all humility. I mean, you know, today, it's funny, I love to watch what we see often on Facebook, the creative ways that husbands ask their wives to marry them, you know. Really good, that's not the way it was then. Here, it's a lady who was in need. She had no visible means of support. She could not help herself. All she could do was approach this guy who was a near kinsman, a near relative, and uncover his feet and lay down at his feet and hope she would be noticed. You see, here's the idea. When he wakes up and he starts to cover his feet back up, if he spreads his garment back over his feet and back over Ruth, you know what that means? That means I'll be your redeemer. I will take you and take care of you and protect you and provide for you. That's why she uncovered his feet. All the symbolism there. See, here's the place where we fail. We say, you know, and people today, so many think that going to church is good enough. I'm going to heaven because I'm a church member. No, you're not. Well, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. No, you're not. What you've got to realize is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means you. That means you. And the bad part is you cannot help yourself. And you say, well, Brother Doug, you don't understand. You're just one of them old hard-nosed preachers telling me I'm going to hell. No, what I'm telling you is if you're relying on yourself, you're going to hell. Because you can't do it. And I'm telling you this out of love. You need help. You've got to ask for it. And we're living in this society of easy believism and just kind of, if you'll just kind of acknowledge God, then you'll go to heaven. No! You know what you've got to do? Do I have everybody's attention? Do I have everybody's attention? Do I have everybody's attention? Okay. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to approach your kinsman redeemer in all humility and seek salvation through him. It's not just accept Jesus as your Savior. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The devils believe and tremble. It's a matter, the problem is we don't know how to humbly present ourselves anymore. You see, we've lost that idea of getting on our knees and crying out to a holy God for salvation. We've lost the idea of humility. We come into church and we sing praise and worship and we think, boy, we've done God a favor.
We endure preaching for 30, 40 minutes and we think, boy, I've done my part. And we walk out of here the same way that we walk in. I want to tell you something. Church does not get you to heaven. Your good works does not get you to heaven. You have got to have a kinsman redeemer. And the only way to approach that kinsman redeemer is in all humility, realizing who you are, a sinner in need of grace. That's how Ruth approached Boaz. That's a picture of salvation that's being drawn. You see, Boaz is a picture of Jesus. Ruth is a picture of the church of today. Naomi is a picture of Israel. And there's a lot of pictures. We're going to get into that a little later on. But I want you to see how Ruth approached Boaz. In all humility. You see, the good part to this is that as she approaches, you know, can you see? Can you imagine as she humbly does this? She uncovers his feet. Boaz was like, "What are you doing, woman? Get away from me, you poor woman! I don't want any part of you." Just because I'm kind, you're going to approach me? Get away from me. He didn't do that. When she humbly approached Boaz, she got his best. The Redeemer's best. You see, we go on with this story. And in the middle of the night, Boaz, it says, was startled. I don't know what startled him. I kind of think it was one of those, she uncovered his feet and his feet got cold. When he got cold, he starts squirming around and he feels this person beside him. And he knows that he laid down by himself. And now somebody's laying down there at his feet. And he's thinking, whoa, what's this? So he wakes up startled. And verse 9 it says, he asks, who are you? Who are you? And Ruth said, it's Ruth. Your maidservant. And she says, take your maidservant under your wing. For you are a close relative. Do you see the beauty here? The humility here? Yeah. She didn't say, you got to take me in because you're kin to me. It's a request. Isn't that what we do in salvation? Don't we approach God on our knees and humbly cry out to God knowing we can't help ourselves? Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, I confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And the Messiah, the one who gave Himself for my sins. Ruth said, it's your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. New American Standard says, spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative. And I love Boaz's response. He said, for you, Ruth, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. So Boaz continued, he said, Ruth, do not be afraid. I will do all that you request. The beautiful part there is he didn't turn her away. He didn't. He said, you know, he said, okay, I'll receive you. And where there's the rest of the story that we're gonna get into next week. But I want you to grasp this. Do you realize Jesus turns no one away? Do you get what I said? That's where you say amen. If you're saved, Jesus turns no one away. Who are you to approach the Son of God? You're a nobody. But I promise you this, Jesus won't turn you away. I'm a nobody. But Jesus hadn't turned me away. I'm unworthy. But when I called upon the name of the Lord, when I called upon Jesus and presented myself in humility, I'm going to tell you this again. White Oak Missionary Baptist Church revival service. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I was lost. I walked down an aisle, and we got down on our knees. I got down on my knees, and I just asked Jesus to save me, because that's all I knew how to do. And the preacher shared with me, and I got down on my knees, and I asked him, and guess what? When I got up off my knees, I was a different man. Actually, I was a different child. What difference did it make getting on your knees and saying, Jesus, save me? It made all the difference in the world. Because I knelt down there, a lost person. I stood up, a child of the King, having been redeemed by my kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. You see, today you've got a choice. You can choose the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah, people today are all about, well, I'm going to put it off. You know, one of these days I might be saved, but right now I've got living to do. Ruth could have chased down the young men. She could have chased down rich young men. Because apparently she was a looker. I kind of get that. I don't think that's going way out on a limb there. Apparently she was attractive. And Boaz says, you could have chased down and sought after young rich guys, but you came to me. So I'm going to give you what you need. I want to tell you can live your life however you see fit today. You can chase wealth and riches. You can chase sin and ungodliness and sexual immorality and impurity. And you can say, all these things will make me happy. But the bottom line, you're going to come to that point in life that they leave you absolutely empty on the inside. And one of these days, you're going to die. Today, you've got to make a choice. Today. You can choose the pleasures of sin for a season, and then you can face eternity empty-handed. Or you can come to the Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who gave His life for your sins, who shed His blood to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can approach Him, the Son of God, even in your unworthiness. You approach Him in your humility and your repentance. He will not turn you away. John chapter 6 verse 17, Jesus said, all that my Father gives me will come to me, and one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. That's you. Oh, the beauty here. I love this. How are you on the Hallmark movies? I'll be honest with you, I'm not a real big fan. Boy meets girl, they fall in love, ends, you know, they get mad after they fall in love, then he apologizes, they end happily ever after and get married, and bang, everyone's the same. That's Hallmark movie time. We're fixing to go into Christmas. Hallmark Christmas movies, it's the same thing. Boy meets girl, they go for a while, they get mad, separate. At the end, they get back together and have a very, very Merry Christmas, you know. But women seem to like those things. But I want to tell you something. This is better than a Hallmark movie. This is a beautiful spiritual picture of how Jesus came and how He has the riches of the universe at His disposal. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Money's no object for Him. I mean, after all, He created everything. It all belongs to Him. He's the blessed Redeemer. And the invitation has been issued. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You've got to choose today. Ruth chose a Redeemer. Not just someone that could get her by. She chose a Redeemer. A kinsman Redeemer. What will you choose today? I go back to the beginning of this message when I ask you, if you needed help, would you ask for it? Today, lost person, you need help. And all you've got to do is humbly come to the feet of Jesus and ask for His salvation. And I promise you, He will not throw you aside. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful picture of redemption. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Thank you, Lord, that even though we know we can't help ourselves, there is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And that present help is Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone in this service today who is not saved, that they, you will give them the courage to lay aside their pride and to put aside every silly excuse that they would come up with and humbly bow down at the feet of Jesus and call upon Jesus for salvation. Lord, move very strongly and very freely among us now. In Jesus' name. Amen.